The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
We're here at Menards Bank Sale, asking shoppers what they're putting in the bag to get 15% off.
Paint.
Batteries.
Tools.
Toilet paper.
Extension cords. Grocery items.
Hardware for my cabinets.
Snack items. Crackers and some canned good stuff.
Shop vac supplies.
Toothpaste. Cereal. Coffee. Dog treats. I've got a lot of stuff to grab.
The list goes on, but the sale ends January 24th. Hurry in for Menards 15% off bag sale. See store for complete details.
Save big money at Menards.
Hello and welcome to Brokernomics. Now, a couple of episodes ago, I was doing a predictions on 2025 and the sort of things that Trump might do when he comes into office. And one of those things was he could reveal information on so-called conspiracy theories, confirming them one way or another. We speculated on that. And I idly mentioned during that bit that wouldn't it be fun if me and Beau sat down and had a proper back and forth on some of these conspiracy things. Anyway, you, the lovely audience, were quite unanimous that that was indeed something you wanted to see. And so Beau joins me to do exactly that.
All right.
Yes.
Should be fun. I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah, absolutely.
Should
right.
Good.
Well, look, what I've got is 31 conspiracy theories.
Quote, unquote.
Yes. Yes, quite. Well, the first seven have basically been admitted at this point. They just said, we did that. Hopefully we can bang this out in one part. But if it does get spicy, well, we see how we go. But anyway, we do a little bit, shall we, on the ones that we were told were definitely conspiracy theories. But then they said later, we
and
did
have
that.
Since been proven to be real.
First on the list is MK Ultra.
Right, yeah.
So do you want to tell them about that, or shall I?
Well, so it's up to you, but yeah, there's lots about that. It's sort of certainly the case that it was real.
So they basically gave people drugs. People didn't know they would be given drugs. I think they started off giving it to Johns in whorehouses, and then they basically just spread it, and they just let's just give loads of people drugs and see what happens.
So yeah. Nowadays, from multiple different sources of people that have retired, basically. It's come out that it's all true, really. Because for a while, like LSD was a part of it, wasn't it? A big part of it.
Yes.
For a while, for quite a few years, LSD wasn't illegal because it's new. It's a synthetic drug. It's man-made, right? There's hallucinogens that occur naturally in nature, but LSD itself is completely man-made. So in the first few years, there was no legislation banning it. And in that window of time, not just the American intelligence services, but various other intelligence services thought they'd just experiment. It might be a way to melt people's minds to the point where they don't know what's going on and you can actually get information out of them. Now, remember, it's the Cold War, though. I'm not trying to give them a pass or trying to justify it or anything. During the height of the Cold War, the 50s, 60s, and even into the 70s, organisations like the CIA... were looking to do anything they could.
Oh, they were doing lots of weird
anything
stuff.
Anything they could.
But they even had a unit set up to investigate the paranormal and psychic connections and stuff like that.
The men that stare at goats.
Yes.
Right, yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Interestingly, they did actually get one useful bit of technology out of that.
What was that?
So what they did is they hooked people's brains up to these things to monitor their thoughts, and they were trying to, you know, connect with psychic connections, stuff like that. And it turns out that what you could do with this is that you could connect people's brains up, right? And you could show them a picture of, say, like a tank or an aeroplane. And you would record the signal that it makes when they saw that. And then what you could do is you could show somebody a rapid series of thousands of aerial photos, far too quick for the person to say, oh yeah, there was a tank in one of those, or there was a plane in one of those. But nevertheless, the little brain spike still happened. So you could use the human computer to scan a vast amount of it. They don't need to do it now because of AI. But there was that period where it was actually a useful bit of kit, one thing that actually came out from that. So,
that is interesting. I mean, one of the things, for example, there were even some British spies that talked to the Americans, admitted that the Americans, people like James Angleton, were into all this sort of thing. The idea being that if they got, it's all about agents and double agents. You want to know what's really true. So say you get a Soviet defector. You want to know whether he's a fake defector or not, because there's this whole idea of fake defectors, that the Soviets let someone, in inverted commas, defect, but actually they're only ever going to peddle misinformation.
Yes.
That's sort of a classic espionage
That's quite clever.
Thing to do, yeah. We did it to the Nazis loads during World War II, the Brits. We sort of was the best at that time. So if you've got a defector, you want to know, or if you've got a double agent, you're running a double agent, when they come back, you want to know they're definitely telling you the truth.
You give them LSD for that?
Well, so they didn't really know what you could or couldn't do with LSD. All they knew is that it warped your mind and it changed your sense of perception, and maybe they could use it as some sort of truth serum. You can't really.
Right.
But they didn't know that. So therefore,
that's
why that
they have got a truth serum.
Well, there's certain drugs which make you more or less likely to tell the truth.
Yeah.
Like some people can beat a lie detector, the machine. Some people can. Most people can't, but some people can. So some people are susceptible to a truth serum. A lot of people aren't, particularly if you're trained or all sorts of things. I mean, they would do anything to sort of break you, you know, things like put you in a completely white room with no windows and the light never going off for days and days and days. So you've got no sense of... There's various ways to try and break people's will. Try and get them to tell the truth, least of all just torture, right? Usually torture, usually, not always, but usually torture will work.
I've always thought that. I've always heard...
Everyone's got a breaking point, nearly everyone.
That was the thing during the Obama era. They kept on saying torture doesn't work, and I just thought, I bet it does.
Yeah. Well, the problem is that you might end up breaking them so thoroughly that they'll admit to anything. That's the problem. It's funny, in the ancient world, or in the medieval world, certainly in ancient Rome, they thought that evidence given under torture was more reliable than if you weren't under torture. So you would almost certainly get tortured. Anyway, thing with MKUltra is this idea of trying to, it's just to experiment to see what can or couldn't be done with all sorts of drugs, but particularly LSD.
Right.
And, well, or mescaline, or there's different forms. There's all different types of drugs that they can do. And I mean, even Alan Dulles, the head of the CIA,
we'll be coming back to him.
He allowed his son to be experimented on mildly.
Right.
Because his son got wounded, was it in Korea or Vietnam? I think it was Korea. He got badly wounded, like shrapnel in the head or something or other. Shot
so have,
in the head,
so have a
but
trip.
Not killed. But he was sort of disabled for the rest of his life.
Right.
And so they put him into like a hospital.
Right.
Where you stay forever, sort of a hospital, more like a long, long, long-term hospice where you're just cared for. And the CIA came to him and said, can we try stuff on him? And Alan Dulles said, yeah,
go on. To be fair, I mean, that seems like... I mean, if you're in a hospital and you can't move for the rest of your life, I mean, I think you should be allowed psychedelics.
Anyway,
moving on. Operation Northwood. So a false flag to basically justify... intervention into Cuba. I mean, this one was really bad, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, morally.
Yeah.
Well, ethically.
They were basically talking about committing terrorist acts, killing American people to justify a war. Yeah. A theme that might come up more or less.
So
often.
That concept is not new.
No.
Of course. That it's not like the CIA or the NSA or whoever dreamt up something like the concept of that. That's very, very old.
Yes.
To pretend you've been attacked.
Yes.
And therefore you've got a casus belli.
Yes.
A cause for war somewhere. But I believe in Operation Northwoods, it was stuff like blowing up an aeroplane or hijacking aeroplanes, stuff like that. Like really bad stuff, high casualty stuff.
Oh, yeah, really bad stuff. So, I mean, to be fair, they didn't actually do it in the end, and that's why this one has been declassified, because it was... Oh, was it Kennedy? Kennedy stopped it. He said, no, you're not doing that.
Yeah.
So yeah. All the other times that they might have done that, it hasn't been declassified since. Yeah. Tuskegee syphilis experiments. So basically they gave a load of black guys syphilis. Or no, they got a whole load of black guys who had syphilis and they said, oh, don't worry, we're going to treat you. But they didn't. They just watched to see what happened to them.
Mm.
Probably shouldn't have done that.
Again, ethically,
yeah,
it's pretty bad, isn't it?
Yeah.
But then, again, I'm not trying to run interference or anything like that, but it's not like that's the only example. Like the US are uniquely evil or anything. All throughout time, they've done stuff like that. Like deliberately, basically, letting plague victims succumb so you could see, so you could gain... There was one guy in Japan, he got in like not that long ago, I think it was like maybe the 90s, the 80s or 90s. He got an insanely high dose of radiation poisoning by accident, completely by accident. It's like a research chap. And he got like hundreds of times the legal dose, and he was going to die within days no matter what. And the Japanese basically kept him alive for as long as possible. Like they could have let him slip away,
but
they pumped him full of drugs to keep him alive for as long as possible, so they could see, because it was like a unique case. We've never had someone with this much radiation poisoning. We really want to know what it does to the body, so they kept him alive, and it's to the point where your body can't even take on morphine or diamorphine anymore. So he's in like the worst type of excruciating pain. You're literally liquefying in real time. And they kept him alive longer than he need be alive just to see what happened. So
that does sound quite villainous, that one.
Yeah,
yes.
That is sort of right into the realms of evil. But syphilis, as I understand it, in its last stages, is terrible. Like you go mad. I don't know if you've ever seen people that are suffering from the last stages of rabies.
Right.
It's sort of nightmarish.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's pretty evil. And they denied that they were doing it. But
yeah, I mean, all of these ones were denied, and then it's like, oh, yeah, we are doing it. NSA mass surveillance. So this is the one that Edward Snowden blew the lid on.
Yeah.
In fact, I think even the director of the CIA basically... perjured himself in front of a congressional committee when he went out and said, no, we're definitely not doing this. And then the Snowden leaks proved that, yes, you were absolutely doing this all along.
Mm-hmm.
So, and again, this was supposed to be something that was just a mad conspiracy theory, but just without a doubt it was happening.
It's one of those things, the NSA, it's sort of what they're meant to do. It was like at some point in the... I've mentioned it recently a couple of times here or there, so I'm loath to mention it again, but I will do. There's a very, very great book called Spycatcher by a British, very senior MI5 chap called Peter Wright. He was so senior. He was never actually the head of MI5, but he was right at the top, to the point where he would go over and talk to people at the very top of the CIA, the FBI, NSA. He'd talk to people at the very top of MI6, of GCHQ. He was sort of an intelligence services royalty type dude. And in the 80s, I believe it was, he retired and had an axe to grind and wrote a book, Spycatcher. And he talks about, in passing, but does talk about how signals intelligence, i.e. listening in on people, has been is a giant part of what the intelligence services have always done and always do. Now we live in the sort of post-radio era. We live in just the full digital age where it's possible for organisations like GCHQ or the NSA to basically listen in on anyone's phone. Like Snowden told us this.
Yes.
Every single phone, if they want to, they can just turn it into a mic and just listen.
Yes.
They can just watch through your camera on your phone or your laptop or whatever. The NSA can do that.
Whenever they don't want.
Whenever they want. And record anything they want, basically.
Hmm.
But it's sort of the whole point of it, though. It's not like by accident. It's not like the NSA were like, oh, maybe we could actually do this evil thing. No, that was always the idea. So the fact that they tried to deny it, it's just great justice that somebody like Snowden came out.
Good chappy. Good egg is
said it's real.
On a very similar note, Cointel Pro. So this was an FBI operation spying on disruptive political groups. I mean, I like the idea of it.
Well, it depends what they, if they deem you, whoever you are, to be one of their, among their enemies or not.
I mean, they're blatantly still doing this now.
Yeah, of course. So this came out at the same time as a number of things in the early 70s. There were sort of the church committees. There was a Senator Church did a congressional committee. And I think one of the Rockefellers as a senator did a senatorial hearing. And in the early 70s, when they were trying to re-look into the JFK stuff, they basically did a semi-hangout, you know, the idea of a full hangout.
Yeah.
They sort of did a semi-revealing the curtain to a degree on a bunch of the stuff that the American intelligence services were doing in the early 70s. And this was one of the things that came out there. But the FBI have always been a political organ.
Have they always been the paramilitary wing of the Democrat Party?
Not exactly, no. I don't think that's fair. Not always. No, certainly not, no.
Because they are now.
Yeah.
Right.
So it would depend. So, for example, for the longest time, J. Edgar Hoover was the head of them. And he was no lefty, right? He was no lefty. So, yeah, they weren't... I mean, the Democrat Party has only been crazily left in recent times.
Yeah.
So if you're going back, if you're talking about the 50s or the 30s or something, then the FBI certainly weren't that. I mean, to begin with, the FBI, when they were first sort of founded, there was this sort of Red Scare soon between the wars, soon after World War One, in like the 20s in America. They were scared that these Reds, these Bolsheviks were going to come over and subvert America in all sorts of ways. And that was one of the reasons why the FBI was set up in the first place, was to fight and combat commies. So... that's why I say from the beginning, they've always been a political tool. They haven't always been at war with sort of conservatives and Christians and whoever. But yeah, it's always
just a while.
It's
now.
Always been political. Because
these days, they're going after like church groups and, you know, parents' meetings because they don't like that trannyism is getting pushed on their kids at school and all that kind of thing.
Well, they have been because it depends who you've got in the leadership, right? If you've got a load of lefties in the leadership making the decisions, then yeah, that's what you'll get. Sure.
But
you could swap them out for sort of right-wing patriots and send them after the left again.
That's a good idea. We should do that. Iran-Contra. This was a bit mental, this one. What's the short version of this, Bo?
Well, this is in the Reagan days, isn't it?
Yes.
The idea that, we mentioned there, Oliver North was like this general, because the CIA will, and the actual full military, the Pentagon, there's a big overlap there. And it was to do with Nicaragua, wasn't it? Yeah, yes. The Nicaragua Contras.
Well, there's a lot of stuff in there, gun running, drug running.
Right. The short of it is that there was a paramilitary in Nicaragua that Reagan or the United States wanted to prop up and back up. But of course, they were like pretty evil dudes or killers, you know, like go around with kill gangs or whatever, doing all sorts of messed up, pretty horrible stuff. And they were being helped, backed, funded, or whatever, by the United States with the help of the CIA, men like Oliver North. And just for a while, they just said, no, we got nothing to do with it. We don't know. We didn't do nothing. And then it turns out they just were. And in the end, Oliver North goes before a congressional hearing and spilt the beans. Basically.
Would that have been when George Bush Sr. was head of the CIA?
Was he already
vice president by then?
I'm not sure. It would be in and around then. I'm not sure But it's just this thing that they denied. Oh, no, it is real. It's just an example of that.
Yes.
We wouldn't do anything so evil. But yeah, no, we did.
Yes.
It's one of those.
Gulf of Tonkin incident. I don't know why we got that one as opposed to the USS Liberty. But I mean, I suppose they're both off a similar vein.
Well, the Gulf of Tonkin is just like an Operation Northwoods, but they obviously...
Yes.
Well, so what it was, in the Gulf of Tonkin, they set the US military or the Navy said that they'd been fired on by Vietnamese, or North Vietnamese, I guess it would have been.
Yes.
It just wasn't true. And there was like a really small fishing boat or something. I can't remember all the details of it. But they made out that they'd been fired upon, and now they've got a casus belli to go to war.
But it's what you said before. It's let's pretend we've been attacked, so we got an excuse to go to war. Exactly. Oh, I know why it's not the USS Liberty, because they still deny that one. We're on the list of things that is apparently denied.
But right. They said, you know, we've this aggression, we've been aggressed against.
Yes.
So we must go to war, and it was just wasn't real.
Yes.
Like they lied, just completely lied, really, about the details of it.
Hmm. So those are the ones that we know were conspiracy theories until they were proved true, and there's like no dispute anymore. All of those seven are things that did happen, and so you were right if you were a conspiracy theorist saying it beforehand.
Yeah. One thing I would say, though, because I say real quick, is that this list, you put together this list.
Yes.
I'll just say, it's very, very US heavy.
Yes.
All other countries, including Britain, have done stuff like this.
Yes. Well, you had to limit it a bit, because otherwise we could be here for a while.
Sure. But yes. I feel like we're just completely dunking on the United States. They've got some of the most egregious, or they've been caught with their hand in the honey jar, so to speak, quite badly a number of times in recent decades. But like during the 18th or 19th century, Britain would do stuff like this. Say, oh, we've been aggressed on by these people or wherever, somewhere in India, so we must go to war.
You could have loads of this if you wanted to include the British during the two wars and the sort of empire. You'd have quite a long list.
Well, the French did it.
Yes.
Russians do this sort of stuff all the time.
Yes.
The Soviet era of Russia, they did crazy lies.
Yes.
Crazy lies about all sorts of stuff.
But I think more people would have heard about these.
Because
basically these ones crop up in films more.
Yeah.
So and these ones and America has been the hegemon for the last few decades, and therefore this stuff is a bit higher profile.
And I think kudos must be given to countries that do eventually, even if it's against a lot of people's will, own up to it. So for example, a lot of the lies that went on during the Soviet period, to this day, they've never admitted it.
Yes.
Or will never admit
it. Mind you, how many of those did the US government willingly admit to?
Well, if you take the Iran-Contra affair, for example, and Oliver North, right? It's that Congress and the Senate, or the congressional assassination hearings where something like MKUltra or COINTELPRO came out. It's the United States that are actually washing their dirty laundry in public. That's better than what the Soviets do, where they just deny it for all time.
It was a separate wing of government. It wasn't like the intelligence agencies themselves just messed
volunteered.
Up.
Yeah, yes. That's a fair point.
Yes.
That's a fair point.
Right, so let's move on to conspiracies that Trump could potentially validate. Top of the list is the JFK assassination files.
Mm.
So the argument is some chap took a very long, very lucky shot from a distance, and he did it completely by himself, and it was a big shock. Is that where you are?
Well, for a start, it was actually quite close range.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, as far as a rifle is concerned, it was very close, yeah.
Right, okay.
But that's besides the point. That's a minor detail, really. There's the official account of what happened, and to my mind, it's just complete nonsense.
Right. You wrote a very good article that's still on the Lotus Eaters website, didn't you, that...
Thanks, yeah.
Yeah, that went into this.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so where to start talking about JFK? So after it happened, the new prez, LBJ, launches the Warren Commission, the investigation into it.
Right? Yes.
And that's headed by Justice Earl Warren, who's on the Supreme Court.
Yes. Right?
And he's cleaner than clean.
Yes.
But the people they put on that commission, among them Jerry Ford and Alan Dulles himself.
Well, Alan Dulles is if you were going to list suspects of somebody behind the scenes doing some dodgy stuff, Alan Dulles would be very high up on that list.
It's like putting the chief suspect in a murder as the judge of a murder case.
Yes.
Yeah. Or on the jury of it.
So what do you think? Because I have seen the argument that actually it was a lone wolf, and it was the US government itself that put forward all this conspiracy stuff to distract from people from how badly they screwed up on something as basic as presidential security.
Well, see, that's the classic muddying of the waters.
Yes.
Right?
I don't go with that one myself.
Classic thing.
What do you think actually happened?
So, Okay, what I think happened was that John Kennedy had pissed off a great number of people. People in the mafia, people in the intelligence services, people in the deep state, people that are sort of national security advisor level people, extremely powerful people, oil, big, big oil interests, people like the Rockefeller brothers.
So the who's of powerful people then?
He had annoyed, he had really pissed off or screwed with their money, screwed with their power, with extremely rich and powerful segments of American society. And the CIA at that point in the early 60s had had a number of successes, if you want to call it that, with assassinations. They did assassinations all over the world, least of all trying to get Castro. And when John Kennedy fired Alan Dulles as head of the CIA, he basically formally wasn't the head anymore, but he still controlled the CIA.
So Alan Dulles had been fired, but he very quickly came back after the assassination, didn't he?
Well, he didn't come back as the head of the CIA, no.
No, but he went back into a prominent set of positions, including the Warren Commission.
Right, yeah. So the senior guys at the CIA at the time are people like Dick Helms, Richard Helms, who went on to head the CIA himself, James Jesus Angleton, Bill Harvey. There's a load of names.
Yes.
Of badass, serious people we know. They were still taking orders from Alan Dulles, from Alan Dulles' home, after he had been fired. Right. That's definitely, again, this is definitely a matter of record. There's a great book called The Devil's Chessboard, about this. Quite a long book, tells you in massive detail. I think, because LBJ is wrapped up in it as well, he was John Kennedy's VP, and John Kennedy was almost certainly going to knock him off the ticket for the re-election campaign. And then LBJ...
And LBJ was an insider's man, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah, he was like an oil interest, yeah. And he was almost certainly going to get prosecuted for all sorts of stuff when he left office. So a bit like Julius Caesar, in order to avoid that, you can have presidential immunity. In other words, it was massively, massively in LBJ's interest if John Kennedy died.
Right.
So there's that. And Alan Dulles and lots of other people, lots of people benefited from John Kennedy dying.
So how did they make that happen?
I think they had at least two, if not three, shooters in Dealey Plaza that day.
Oh, really?
I think it was a triangulation of fire.
So the grassy knoll and where?
I think there may have been a shooter in the book depository building.
Right.
There may well have been. There may have been one on another roof overlooking that particular plaza. I think there was a triangular fire. I think there was probably like something like seven shots fired, not just three or four. I think there was a number of shots rang out. I think there's definitely a shooter and a spotter on the grassy knoll. There'd been talk of badge man.
Right.
So I think there was a number of shooters. And I think, now this is intelligence services stuff 101, is muddying the waters. So what you do is you get a patsy. That's what Lee Oswald said he was,
yes.
i.e. a scapegoat. You get other people that are plausibly guilty of it. You put them in the right place at the right time, and then you pin everything on them.
So do you think that Lee Harvey Oswald actually took a shot?
No, I don't think so, no. At most, he might have been a spotter, but I don't think so, no.
He was just attending work, and he had his rifle with him that day, as simple as that.
But he didn't even have a rifle with him. He took a package to work with him that day, which people say wasn't long enough to be a rifle. It wasn't a rifle.
Ah.
But this is the whole point of it. This is the whole point of the smoke and mirrors, the fun and games, is that you make it confusing. So Lee Harvey Oswald, he had the fingerprints of intelligence all over him. He was deep in the intelligence game. Well, not actually that deep, but he was involved in stuff. Massively.
He was an asset of theirs.
Yeah, big time. And sort of, so, okay, quick rundown of Lee Harvey Oswald, right? He'd been in the Marines, and then he was sort of spirited off to work in Japan on the U2 project, you know, the U2 spy plane.
Oh, right, not the
band. Most people don't go from being a Marine Corps private to working on intelligence analysis of the U2.
No.
Right. Then after that, he did some other weird stuff that a normal, very young, sort of 21, 22-year-old private in the Marines, you wouldn't just get to work on. And then he defects to the Soviet Union. Again, he's still very young. He's in his early 20s. He defects to the Soviet Union. Just one day, turns up at the Soviet consulate saying, I want to defect. I'm disaffected with capitalism. I'm actually a Marxist. I want to defect.
Do you think that was genuine, or was that a double agent?
Almost certainly not. No, they're almost certainly trying to run a double agent.
Right.
The American intelligence services are like, go over there, pretend to be defecting, get whatever information you can.
That's a very useful patsy.
Both sides do that sort of stuff all the time.
Yes.
That's not that crazy. It's kind of, both sides will be doing stuff like that all the time. The point I'm trying to make is that Lee Harvey Oswald was in the intelligence game of smoke and mirrors. Anyway, he lives in Russia for like, what was it, a year or two or something. He gets a Russian wife. The Soviets see it coming a mile away. They're like, okay, you're defecting. Yeah, okay. Right. And they're like, okay, we'll give you a flat somewhere, in sort of nowhere near any military bases or anything. We'll give you a crappy job in a factory. We're not going to let you anywhere near state secrets. You're kidding me. Anyway, after a while, his handlers, or Lee Harvey Oswald himself, realizes he's not going to get any secrets. So he redefects back to the United States. Okay. When he did that, nothing happened. If he was a legit defector who wanted to come back, he would have been debriefed by the FBI or whoever thoroughly. He would have been under the spotlight of the police.
But they decided to find another use for him.
But they just let him back. They just let him back in.
Right.
Because obviously, because he's got the fingerprints of intelligence all over him. That's just the tip of the iceberg. That's just the tip of the iceberg of Lee Harvey Oswald. The point is, Lee Harvey Oswald was absolutely involved in the whole game of smoke and mirrors. So, but he's a very young dude. He's in his 20s. He's trying to make a career, trying to make a name for himself, doing whatever he feels he sort of has to need to do. And so I think what happened at Dealey Plaza in November 63 is that he's just a plaything to them. Mm. He's just something they can discard. He's a nobody.
Well,
so they put him in the right place, just about the right place, so that he can be used as a scapegoat. And he was almost certainly supposed to die that day in some sort of shootout or something or other, so he could never.
Because the thing I find suspicious is he died very quickly afterwards. Jack Rubenstein, exactly. He takes him out very quickly. And then very quickly after that, Jack Rubenstein himself meets a rather unfortunate.
He just died of cancer, didn't
yes.
he? Apparently.
But it's apparently a cancer that came on very quickly.
Mm. And, like, why wasn't he put on trial and scrutinised by barristers or lawyers straight away? The thing that makes the whole JFK thing for me, and for most people actually, sort of glow as obviously some sort of contrived smoke and mirrors game is that Jack Ruby comes out of the crowd from nowhere and silences Lee Harvey Oswald. That's where, at that point, anyone that's being honest with themselves says there's something extremely suspicious going on. The idea that Jack Ruby, because the rationale that was supposed to be that Jack Ruby was just, he loved JFK. This is the story. Mm. Jack Ruby loved JFK so much that he couldn't stand that this assassin could go on living.
Yes, how could
don't worry about justice or anything. It's just he couldn't stand him still being alive, so he felt the need to murder him immediately. That's nonsense. That's obviously childish nonsense. Lee Harvey Oswald was silenced in the Dallas police station.
Yes, he couldn't possibly testify.
So this thing of Jack Ruby literally coming out of the crowd with a gun and shooting. It's like suddenly, everything about this is now really, really, really suspicious.
Yes.
So I think that it was a CIA op, basically done by probably someone like B. Bill Harvey or James Angleton, and they used all the tools at their disposal to make it confusing and to muddy the waters, to the point where even years later, they'll still be talking about how the Warren Commission is infallible. It was certainly Lee Harvey Oswald on his own.
Yes,
there was only four shots.
Do you think Trump is going to spill the beans on this one?
Well, he said he would. I don't know if he will. Thing is, over the years, quite a lot of the information has actually come out. That was one of the things I've talked about before. It's like one of their last straws they can pull is insisting that it's still a mystery. If you actually look at it with clear eyes, it's not that mysterious.
Yes.
Right. And so anyway, over the years, a lot of detail has come out. In the early 70s, when they had hearings into it, a lot came out. George Bush Jr. released some documents. I think Trump, first time round, released some documents. I fear that there's not that much left to come out. There'll be some, but there won't be a so-called smoking gun.
You've already got enough to see it clearly if you just look.
I think if there were documents or pictures or something or other which showed absolutely conclusively, 100% slam dunk, this was a CIA operation.
Yes.
I would have thought that decades ago, they would have gone in and lost that evidence. I suspect if, say, you could go in there and you, with the hand of God, find all the documents that are left extant, it still wouldn't necessarily show, like a bit of paper where Alan Dulles signs at the bottom.
Yes.
Saying, James Angleton put a kill team together to whack JFK, signed Alan Dulles. I don't think a bit of paper like that exists.
Yeah, it's
if there was ever one.
Reason why I think he probably won't is because it's probably understood, because it would have been passed down from senior person to senior person that, yeah, we did take out the president. So it's probably known, even if it can't be physically proved with a piece of paper, like you say, with somebody signing at the bottom, go and get it. There's probably still something that they could release, but I don't think Trump will, because it's a stick to beat the intelligence services with. He can always say, play along,
exactly. Maybe, yeah, possibly, maybe. Or enough time has passed now. It's like
still a big thing.
I know.
The intelligence agency taking out their own president, especially given that you could argue that maybe they might have done that a fair bit more recently. Trump just turned his head at the last moment.
Yeah, quite possibly.
Yeah.
I mean, there's other things, not necessarily like an actual signed order from Alan Dulles to kill John Kennedy, but there might be other things. Like, for example, most people think that there's images of JFK's autopsy, apparently.
Right.
And it shows like the back of his head, or the back of somebody's head, with a very small entry wound in the back of his head. Because the official story is he was shot from behind, right? A fairly large exit wound on the front. Now, the doctors at Parkland Hospital, where he was rushed straight after the incident, all the doctors at Parkland say, no, the back of his head was blown out. There was like a baseball-sized massive exit wound on the back of JFK's head, right?
Right.
All the doctors say that. That's the eyewitness testimony from very, very good eyewitnesses. And yet these so-called autopsy photos don't show that. So wait, what are we looking at then? Who is that, the back of John Kennedy's head or somebody else? Some other, whether it's some Officer Tippit or some cadaver or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Maybe there's some sort of evidence around that portion of the cover-up.
Yes.
Maybe.
And you'd like to think if they just did dump all of the documents, especially with AI now, you'd be able to piece it together in such a way that it was. Maybe. But then, like you say, it's already there. You've already got enough to see this clearly. So, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I hope they release stuff and they actually do a full hangout and actually come clean about exactly what really happened.
Yeah.
I really do hope so.
Yes.
And I think that's admirable, even if it's decades later, to actually own up to what you did.
Mm.
It is the right thing to do.
Yes. We will see on that one. A slightly more modern example, the Epstein network. So the Jeffrey Epstein operation. I mean, he was clearly an intelligence asset of some sort.
If you would like to see the full version of this premium video, please head over to lotuseaters.com and subscribe to gain full access to all of our premium content.